No offense, Father, but it's a woman. Not sure that's your area of expertise. The priest smiled warmly and took a seat in the row in front of me. Turning to the side, he lifted a knee onto the seat and slung one arm over the back of the pew to face me. I might be married to the Lord, but I got a mother and four sisters. He held up four fingers. Four sisters. None of the bunch ever shut the hell up, so I know a lot about women. I chuckled. I don't think I've ever heard a priest say hell unless he was referring to eternal damnation. He smiled. It's the new millennium, son. I have to keep up with the times. Even watch some of those Real Housewives shows when I go over to my sister Mary's place. She's addicted to that stuff. That sounds like a penance. Yeah, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. That I can wholeheartedly agree with. So what brings you out this fine evening? Don't think I've seen you around at any of the masses. Are you new to the area? No, actually, I grew up here. St. Killian's was my church when I was a kid. Ah, he nodded. You back in town visiting family, then? No, Dad passed away years ago. Mom doesn't live here anymore. I was... No use lying to a priest. Thought I'd go for a drive to clear my head, and somehow I found myself here. Sometimes the path is created for us, and we can only follow. I suppose. So tell me about your girl. What's her name? Rachel. He nodded. From the book of Genesis. If you say so. What's been going on with Rachel that has you lost? It's a long story, Father. I've got nothing but time. You won't like it very much. I haven't honored the church too well, or priests, for that matter. His smile was inviting and non-judgmental, even after I'd warned him off. We all make mistakes, son. Sometimes getting it off your chest helps. There was nothing to lose except his respect. I already had none for myself. Maybe a real confession was a long time coming. So I took a deep breath. All right. Don't say I didn't warn you. The priest took off his glasses and rubbed his eyes. Well, that was a doozy indeed, son. Tell me about it. Let's start at the beginning. What you did all those years ago, while it might have begun for the wrong reasons, you skipping out on working, hiding in the confessional, you came back even after you didn't have to be here anymore. Yeah. Tell me, why did you keep coming back each week? I knew something was off. The little girl, Rachel, I mean. She was scared. She seemed like she really needed someone to talk to about whatever was going on. So you wanted to help her? Yeah, that was the truth. I had wanted to help. But I didn't go about it the right way. I should have told someone on day one, involved the police when I had my suspicions. Instead, I played detective and got her hurt. The priest contemplated for a moment. Why didn't she go to an adult? There must have been a reason. She was scared, skittish almost. I wasn't sure what I suspected was right. I was afraid I'd scare her off and she'd trust no one after that. Perhaps if you'd run off and informed the police after the first time you spoke to her, Rachel and her sister would have been too scared to admit the truth and denied anything was going on. I shook my head. Maybe they would have told the truth and been taken out of that hell sooner. Sometimes in life pain is unavoidable, son. We do the best we can. It seems to me that you brought the situation to an end. Had you not come back that next week, it could have gone on for years. Many teenage boys wouldn't have given up their Saturday afternoons to befriend a young girl. I raked my fingers through my hair. I don't know. Do you believe in God, son? It had been a long time since I walked into church, but that didn't change my faith. As miserable as I was, and as screwed up as my connection to the church was, I still believed in a higher power. I do. That's good. You need to heed the destiny he has chosen for you, and the only way to honor that is to accept it and embrace it with truth. I'm not sure I understand. There is no such thing as coincidence. Coincidence appears to be a remarkable concurrence of events that have no plausible connection, but there was always a connection. God is always the connection. I was skeptical. So you think God put us both in that confessional at the same time? I do. He was steadfast in his answer. And even more importantly, I believe God brought you back together again for a reason. And what's that reason? That, he pointed a finger at me, is for you to figure out. It appears he's given you a second chance. What you do with it is up to you. I shook my head. Maybe he was right. Maybe we were back together for me to come clean with Rachel, or maybe this second chance was about something more. But doing the right thing by her was 15 years in the making. Thanks, Father. He reached over and extended a hand to me. I'll give you some space so you can do what you came here to do. Think. We shook. Thank you. He stepped out of the pew, took a few steps toward the altar, and then turned back to me. Four Hail Marys to our fathers and an act of faith. Seeing the look on my face, he explained, Your penance. I don't believe in just saying prayers to atone for your sins. Sometimes I give an act of virtue of some sort as part of your contrition. An act of charity, an act of hope. I'm going easy on the prayers for you, but I want the act of faith to be significant. I sat alone in the back of the church for almost another hour, thinking. Eventually, I decided it was time to go. But as I headed out, I couldn't resist taking a look, returning to the scene of the crime. I smiled when the door to the old confessional creaked open just like it used to. The inside looked almost exactly the same, maybe a little more time-worn. Taking a seat in that chair where everything had started, I took a look around. The decor hadn't changed much either. Only a simple gold cross hung on the wall. I stared at it for a while, then my head fell into my hands and my eyes closed. So many questions swirled around. Could there be some truth in that Rachel and her sister might have denied anything going on if I'd told someone right away? Could she forgive what I'd done and all the lies then and now? Even if she could, had Rachel already moved on? Is it better that she did? Seeing her earlier with Davis, the happy look on her face as she laughed, hurt like hell. I wanted to be the one to make her smile. Maybe that was my act of faith, part of my penance of sacrifice. I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do. It was possible I was more confused now than when I'd wandered in. I know I've been a crap parishioner, but a sign might be nice. Feeling defeated, I opened my eyes and looked down at the worn carpet. A shiny penny stared at me, heads facing up. I laughed and reached down to pick it up. Even after all these years, I could still hear her little voice. Find a penny, pick it up, and all day long you'll have good luck. God, she was still with me. Even after all these years and everything we'd been through, how could I let her go? And then it hit me. I could let her go physically, but she'd be taking my heart with her. I needed to at least give her the truth and let her decide what to do with it. Just like I'd done before when I sat in this seat, I flipped the copper penny over and over between my thumb and pointer. Closing it into my palm after a minute, I looked up at the cross. Thanks. I'm going to need it.
Chapter 39. If he really cared, he would have done something about it. That was tough to accept. Even though Cain had given me no reason to hang on to hope, I had been. But tonight I felt like whatever I'd been clinging to had finally snapped. It's killing me to see you like this, Ava said. We'd just locked up O'Leary's at the end of the night. Since it had been slow, I'd done everything I needed to before we closed, except total out the register, which I was currently doing. I stopped counting and looked up at my friend. I'll be fine. It was just a rough night. She took a seat at the bar. Maybe you shouldn't have told Davis you weren't interested. He's a nice guy. Might help you to get over the fuckwad. I smiled. Ava had been Team Cain, right up until the moment I told her he'd broken things off. Now she had a wide assortment of names for him, none of which were Cain. I just don't understand why he showed up here tonight. Cain? I don't know. But he didn't look happy. He stared at the two of you sitting in that booth over there and didn't even hear me call his name. I thought for sure he was going to storm over and throw a punch. Although that would have been upsetting, at least it would have shown me he cared. No man sees a woman he has feelings for and walks out, especially the moment Cain had apparently walked in on. Finding out he'd stopped by O'Leary's and left when he saw me holding hands with Davis felt like it was finally the end. I'd been imagining seeing something still there in his eyes, but Charlie had been right. If you want to know whether a man's heart is still in it, show him you've moved on. I'd been seeing what I wanted to see instead of the truth. Well, he didn't, and that says more to me than anything. Men suck. I finished counting out the register and put the money in the leather bag we used to store it in overnight in the safe. That about summarizes things. On the drive home, I gave myself a pep talk. I was over Kane West. I hadn't really fallen in love with him. It was just lust. My 9-month dry spell had me confusing the two. I needed to get out more, maybe date people my own age. This was for the best. Goodbye, Kane West. Tomorrow comes with or without you, so I don't need you to continue. I prescribed my own musical therapy on the way home. Listening to Rachel Platten's Fight Song had me feeling that I was not only going to be fine, but was actually better off without Kane. I'm pumped to be dumped, I thought to myself, laughing. I parked my car in the overpriced lot near my apartment and sighed audibly. Convincing my head was a heck of a lot easier than convincing my heart. And with those two at odds, my emotions were all over the place. I went from pumped to plummeted in the span of turning off the car and walking 5 blocks home alone. Lost in thought, I wasn't paying attention to my surroundings. My footsteps were sluggish, and an unexpected panic hit me as I turned the corner to my building. I looked over my shoulder, across the street, up and down the block, all the while feeling a strong wave of anxiety. That feeling grew as I walked faster toward home. It wasn't until I opened the outer door to my apartment building that the reason for my anxiety made itself known. I jumped and screamed as I found someone standing in the vestibule. On instinct, I pulled back and punched as hard as I could, squeezing my eyes shut. "Shit!" the intruder yelled. Only that voice, it wasn't an intruder at all. "Kane! What the hell? You scared the shit out of me, again!" His hand went to his face where I'd just decked him. "I can see that. You're packing a pretty nice punch, Feisty." "I'm sorry, are you okay?" My heart was beating out of my chest. "Yeah, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I didn't mean to scare you. I was ringing the bell. I figured you'd be home by now, since O'Leary's closed at midnight." "Are you sure you're okay?" He moved his hand, and I could see his cheek already starting to turn red and swell. Kane nodded. "I deserved it anyway." Once the rush of adrenaline began to wear off, I realized my hand hurt a lot. Opening and closing it, I wondered if I might have broken something. "You hurt my hand." Kane pulled his head back. "I hurt your hand. You punched me." "Yeah, but it's your fault for scaring the crap out of me, again. What is it with you waiting in here anyway?" "Let me see your hand." I held it out. It wasn't cut or anything, but the knuckles on the middle and pointer fingers had started to swell. Kane took my hand in his and gently ran his thumb over my knuckles. A bolt of electricity shot through me that had nothing to do with the injury. I pulled my hand back quickly.
"That hurt?"
I lied.
"Yeah."
"We should put some ice on it."
Hearing him say "we" reminded me he shouldn't even be here in the first place.
"What are you doing here?"
Kane looked down, then up at me. His beauty kicked my pulse up again. He looked tired and stressed, and had a lump growing on his face where I'd punched him, yet he was still absolutely gorgeous. The kind of handsome that never grows old because each time you're amazed at the effect it has on you. His voice was tender.
"I need to talk to you, please."
"It's late."
"It can't wait."
When I hesitated before opening the door, he took that as a sign I might not be comfortable inviting him up.
"We could go get a cup of coffee or just take a walk, if you want."
I dug into my purse for my keys.
"No, it's fine. I want to change out of my work clothes anyway."
The elevator ride was awkward. The doors were silver and reflected Kane looking at me. I kept my eyes trained up, watching each floor illuminate as if the car was dependent on me for movement.
The damn thing moved at a snail's pace. Inside my apartment, I went to the kitchen, dug a bag of frozen peas from the freezer, and handed them to Kane. Your cheek is swelling.
It's fine. Use that for your hand.
I set the bag down on the kitchen counter and practically ran to my bedroom to change, needing to gather my thoughts. I'll be out in a few minutes. 20 minutes ago, I'd been angry singing fight song in the car, wishing the man a good riddance, and now I was getting my hopes up because he'd showed up at my door. I was pathetic. What was he doing here? Had he been drinking? He'd better not think he was showing up for a booty call. Sex with Kane. I cursed my libido for even considering it. I changed into a pair of yoga pants and a tank top, brushed my hair, and washed up. I might have even spritzed on some perfume. Don't judge. As I was about to walk back to the living room, I realized I wasn't in the right frame of mind yet. Grabbing my iPhone, I opened my playlist and scrolled until I found something to change my mood back to pissed off. I stopped at 3 Days Grace's I Hate Everything About You. That'll do. Lying back on my bed, I shut my eyes, popped in my earbuds, and reset myself. After, I felt stronger and ready to face Kane. He was in his usual spot, looking at the photos on the wall when I finally emerged. Can I get you something to drink? I walked past him and headed to the kitchen for a bottle of water, though I really could have used something stronger. No, thanks. Twisting off the cap, I took a long drink while his eyes followed my every move. So what do you need to talk about?
Could we sit?
Kane waited for me to take a seat. I was closer to the couch, but intentionally sat in the chair across from it so we wouldn't wind up sitting too close. Tonight our roles were reversed, but I needed space to think straight when he was near. After he sat, he clasped his hands together, rested his elbows on his knees, and dropped his head, staring down at his feet. I'd never seen Kane look so nervous. He was generally the epitome of composure. The longer the silence stretched between us, the more anxious I became. After what was probably only 2 or 3 minutes, yet seemed like an eternity, Kane blew out a ragged breath. When he finally raised his head to look at me, his eyes were glassy and filled with pain. I wanted to reach out so badly, but I had to protect myself. Whatever was hurting him would soon be hurting me.
I don't know where to start.
His voice was hoarse. There's only one answer when a person looks as troubled as Kane did. How about at the beginning? He nodded.
That's where I should have started weeks ago.
He searched my eyes.
I know you don't owe me anything, but can you promise me something?
What?
Hear me out until I finish.
Okay. Kane just kept shaking his head.
Do you remember the first night we met?
In the bar? Yes.
I said you looked familiar to me. You thought I was feeding you a line. At the time, I couldn't place it, but after finding out you went to Brooklyn College, I chalked it up to having seen you around.
I furrowed my brows. Are you saying we met before? Kane nodded. His face was so solemn.
It was a long time ago.
Where did we meet?
In church.
What the heck was he talking about? My head tilted to the side.
Church?
Kane dragged his fingers through his hair and stared at me. The look on his face was breaking my heart.
Do you remember going to St. Killian's to talk to a priest every Saturday?
My eyes widened, and my body went still. How do you know about that? He searched my eyes.
It wasn't a priest. It was me.
I think I was in shock. I didn't understand what I was feeling. I wasn't upset or angry. I just felt sort of numb, like I was lost in a heavy fog and couldn't figure out which way to go. My palms were clammy and legs heavy, even though I was sitting. A wave of lightheadedness mixed with nausea washed over me, and I held on to the sides of the chair.
Rachel.
I heard Kane say my name, but I wasn't really listening.
Rachel, maybe you should lie down.
That was probably what I should have done, considering how I felt, but I needed answers. When did you figure out it was me?
Kane smiled sadly and reached into his pocket. When he pulled his hand out, he opened his fist to show me a dozen or so pennies in his palm. I kept them all. I have no idea why, but I did. All these years.
Confused, I took one from his hand. These are...
He nodded. The ones you used to toss into the confessional, so I'd have good luck.
You kept them?
Honestly, I knew I was doing something wrong even then. But after I realized you believed in good luck, despite all the shit swirling around you, I couldn't have walked away if I'd wanted to. I don't know why I kept them. But when I saw you toss pennies on the floor of my bedroom a few weeks ago, it just clicked.
Why didn't you tell me then, if you realized that day?
I wasn't sure. I guess a part of me didn't want to believe it was you, that you'd lived with that fucking monster. I needed to be positive. Tossing pennies could have just been an odd coincidence, so the next time the opportunity presented itself, I asked you if your mother had ever remarried.
My face dropped, and I said no. Kane nodded.
Then at your sister's, she mentioned Benny.
He nodded again.
That's not all. There's more, Rachel.
What else could he possibly be hiding?
More? You know the fight Benny got into at the shop?
Yeah?
It wasn't a customer. It was me. That Saturday after I'd told you to meet me the next morning, I followed you home, just in case you didn't show up. Then when you didn't show up at the church on Sunday, I was coming to check on you. A few blocks from your house, I stopped to get gas, and I saw the same car parked at the station that had been parked in your driveway the day before. I stopped at the place he worked, completely by coincidence.
And what happened?
I told him to keep away from you and your sister. He said some horrible stuff, and then he came at me with a wrench.
He hurt you?
Couple of cuts and bruises, but I was fine.
My head was spinning. I don't feel so good.
I'm so sorry, Rachel. For everything. For lying to you all those years ago. For not going to the police and getting help sooner. For getting you hurt. If I hadn't told you to come meet me, that animal wouldn't have caught you packing, and he...
The pain in Kane's voice was agonizing.
He wouldn't have hurt you. I'm so sorry.
As much as it upset me to see Kane distraught, I needed to be alone. I needed some time to think. It was too much to take in at once. Talking to that priest had been a lifetime ago. I couldn't remember all the things I'd told him, but back then, I was lost. He was the only person who made me feel safe. Finding out none of it was real made me feel confused, angry, violated. But worst of all, I was ashamed. I'd always regretted hiding what was going on for so long, and I felt responsible for not stopping what my sister went through sooner. I need to lie down. I felt Kane looking at me, but I couldn't bear to meet his eyes. You should go. He was quiet for a moment while I continued to look away. Then I heard him stand. His voice was a whisper.
I'm sorry, Rachel. I'm so sorry.
Chapter 40. I'd wanted to come back for so many years, but that part of my life was a locked box, and I'd been afraid to open it for fear of finding things inside I couldn't stuff back in. Yet over the last 4 days, since Kane had revealed so much, the call to come back here had gotten so strong I couldn't ignore it anymore. There was no service going on, but in the last 10 minutes people had started to wander in and sit in the pews near the confessional. Perhaps they were waiting for a session to start. I sat on the other side of the church, lost in my thoughts for the better part of an hour. My attention kept drifting over to the people going in and out of the confessional door. The sinners. A woman with a young child walked in and sat down. The little girl was probably about 10 years old, not much older than I was when I'd started to come on Saturdays. After an older gentleman exited the confessional, the woman leaned over and said something to the little girl before going inside for her turn. It reminded me of when I used to come with my mom before she got sick. I closed my eyes and saw Mom and me sitting in those pews 20 years ago. "You know how when you have a stomach ache or a fever, and you go to the doctor?" she said as we waited for her turn to go into the weird room.
"Yeah."
"Well, this is where you come when something is bothering you inside here." Mom patted her chest.
"When my chest hurts?
Like when Riley had pneumonia?"
Mom laughed.
"Pneumonia, and no, not your chest. What's inside of you that makes you feel a certain way?" I crinkled up my nose.
"What's inside of me?"
"Your soul. It's the thing you can't name. It's the truth of what makes you, you."
I laughed.
"I don't understand."
Mom smiled.
"You don't have to right now. Just remember, this is a place you can come to talk to God about anything."
"What if he's busy?"
She leaned over and kissed the top of my head.
"Then one of his angels will be listening."
I hadn't even realized I was crying until a tear landed on my folded hands. Opening my eyes, I looked over to where the little girl was sitting, and the pews were all empty. She was gone, and so was her mother. They'd gone without my even noticing. The open confessional door caught my attention. Looking around, I realized I was the only person left in the church. My chest had a crushing sensation inside from the old memories of my mom.
"Well, this is where you come when something is bothering you inside here."
"What's inside of me?"
"It's the truth of what makes you, you."
Before I could debate it, I'd stood and headed over to the confessional. It was surreal to step inside after all these years. I might be 25 now, but it was a 10-year-old girl who took a seat. Nothing had changed. The room looked the same as it had the last time I'd stepped inside. I could hear breathing on the other side of the confessional. The priest was waiting. And this time I'd seen him walk in. I knew it was actually a priest. Eventually, after I debated walking out over and over, I took a deep breath and slid open the wooden window that covered the lattice screen.
"Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 15 years since my last confession."
Except for a few "go on" and "tell me more" comments, the priest had been relatively quiet. After a rocky start, where I wasn't sure how to begin or what to say, I miraculously babbled on for the better part of half an hour. It was the most I'd ever spoken to anyone about my mother, my sister, my guilt, or the years of struggle over being ashamed for what I'd allowed to happen.
"What brought you here today? It sounds like you've been doing a lot of thinking of late."
Thinking. I thought I'd heard a brogue. Even though I'd come here with confusion over Cain, we really hadn't spoken about him much. What was bothering me, I'd realized, had little to do with him and more to do with me. It's a really long story.
"I've got nothing but time, my dear."
I guess priests have heard it all, because after I finished my crazy story, he didn't sound even the slightest bit shocked.
"Is there anything else you'd like to confess today?"
"Well, it's been a really long time, so I'm sure I have a ton. I use bad language pretty frequently." The priest was quiet for a moment.
"For your penance, I want you to say one Hail Mary and one Our Father and complete 2 acts of forgiveness."
"Okay." I stood and looked at the lattice. The priest was facing the door, and I could only make out a vague profile. "Thank you for listening, Father." I had one hand on the door when he stopped me.
"Rachel."
"Yes?"
"That first act of forgiveness should be easy. You haven't done anything wrong. You need to forgive yourself."
After I said my prayers, I returned to my car. It wasn't until I was halfway home that something dawned on me. I hadn't told him my name, yet the priest had called me Rachel. On the way back, I did a lot of thinking. I decided to stop in at O'Leary's and ask for a few days off. My head wasn't in a good place, and I really needed to work on my thesis anyway. It was a late afternoon, and the bar was quiet, with just a few ex-cop regulars hanging around with Charlie. "Hey, Charlie, you have a minute?"
"Sure, sweetheart.
You're a heck of a lot more pleasant to look at than these two old guys.
He thumbed his finger at his buddies with a smile. I took a seat at the other end of the bar, and Charlie filled a glass with Diet Coke before coming to talk to me.
Would it be okay if I took a few days off? I can ask Ava to cover me.
Everything okay?
I just need to get caught up on some schoolwork.
Sure, of course. And don't worry about getting Ava to cover you. I'll cover your shifts.
Thanks, Charlie. I really appreciate it.
Oh, by the way.
He walked to the register and lifted the money tray, removing an envelope from underneath.
Glad you and that professor broke up. I ran him. He's got a record.
You ran him? He tossed the envelope on the counter.
Yeah. Told you I was going to check out the guys sniffing around you girls from now on. Guy's got a record for assault. It's old, and it was sealed because he was a juvie, but not too many criminals change their stripes.
Rather than attempt to explain anything, I just said thank you. It was a fitting end to the day I'd had. When a few new patrons came in, Charlie went to make some wings, and I decided to open the envelope. It was surreal to read a police report that involved Kane and Benny. The top half was all informational, name, date, location, time of incident. At the bottom of the page was a section labeled Narrative of Incident, and a paragraph had been written in an officer's chicken scratch handwriting. On 8302 at 1535 hours, suspect committed an act of assault on an unrelated 39-year-old man. There were no witnesses to the attack, but when I arrived on the scene, the suspect was standing over the victim, who was unconscious. I observed cuts and blood on the suspect's knuckles, consistent with the victim's assault. Ambulance number 4631 was dispatched and arrived on the scene at 1548 hours. The victim regained consciousness during the time the paramedics were treating him. The suspect admitted he had assaulted the victim, but refused to give a statement other than requesting that police and social services be sent to 3361 Robbins Lane within the town of Pleasantville. Units were dispatched to the address to investigate. The suspect was searched and cuffed and placed into the back of the squad car while the scene was secured. He remained there until 1650, when he was transported to the 33rd Precinct for processing of charges on second-degree assault.
While I'd already known everything I read, somehow seeing it all on paper hit me. Kane had put my sister and me before himself, making sure we got the attention we needed before even considering what might happen to him. He'd done the same thing again a few weeks ago, or at least he thought he had, choosing to sacrifice his own happiness for mine when he'd broken things off to avoid dredging up the past. I closed my eyes. The memory of my mom that had come back today as I sat in the church once again flooded my thoughts. She'd told me to come to the church if I ever needed to talk, and God would listen. What if he's busy? She leaned over and kissed the top of my head. Then one of his angels will be listening. Suddenly everything was clear. It wasn't Kane I needed to forgive. He'd never done anything but try to protect me. I needed to forgive myself in order to accept him into my heart. I could run the other way, but it was too late. He already had my heart. Charlie must have noticed me in deep thought and mistook that for being upset.
You okay?
He pointed to the ripped envelope on the bar and the papers I'd been reading.
I am now. Thanks, Charlie.
Chapter 41. Rachel's text was the last thing I expected. I read back through the ambiguous exchange from an hour ago. Rachel, could we talk tomorrow after class? Kane, of course. Is everything okay? Rachel, yes, everything is fine. Kane, do you want to discuss something related to your school or your thesis? Rachel, no. I knew she generally ran off to work on Tuesdays after class. Kane, don't you have to work after class? Rachel, no, I took a week off. There was no damn way I was going to get any sleep tonight. I was too anxious. Of course, my mind started to screw with me, imagining all sorts of shit, like why she'd taken a week off. I pictured her sitting on a plane heading to some exotic destination with that Davis tool. Even though a chunk of time had passed since our last text, I picked up the phone in an attempt to find out something that might help me relax. "Kane, are you going somewhere?" She typed back a few minutes later. "Rachel, no, not going anywhere." Further attempts to relax after that were just as futile. Eventually, I grabbed my keys and decided tomorrow was way too long to wait to hear what Rachel had to say. I'd given her the space she'd asked for, but if she was finally ready to talk, I had a lot I needed to say, too. After I got to her place, I realized it was pretty late. Not wanting to scare her by buzzing the door at almost 11, I decided to text first. "Kane, are you awake?" The dots started to jump around. That answered that question. "Rachel, yes?" "Kane, think we can do a little earlier than after class tomorrow?" "Rachel, sure, what time?" "Kane, right now?" "Rachel, I think it's better if we speak in person." "Kane, me too. I'm downstairs. Can I come up?" My phone rang a minute later. "Are you joking?" I pressed her bell in response. "That's me." After she buzzed me in, I waited in front of the elevator. The damn thing was too slow. Now that I was here and she'd let me in, I was desperate to see her. My heart beat unnaturally fast in my chest as I waited. Impatient, I looked around for a door leading to a stairwell. Once I found it, I flung it open to take the stairs two at a time. Rachel's door opened just as I arrived on her floor. "You're really here." I couldn't tell whether she was happy or upset that I'd come without warning. Her face was mostly just shock. "I am." She stood in the doorway in a thin cotton t-shirt and shorts. Her hair was pulled back into a ponytail, and her face was wiped clean of makeup. I'd seen her looking beautiful all dressed up for an opera, but she was never more beautiful than in this moment. "Can I come in?" She stepped aside. "Sure, of course." On the drive over, I'd decided that before she said whatever was on her mind, whether that be telling me off, telling me she was seeing someone else, telling me to fuck off, or even on the long shot that she'd be telling me she was willing to give me another chance, I was going to tell her how I felt about her. I was done keeping secrets from this woman. "Can I get you something to drink?" My mouth was parched from nerves and the race up the stairs. "Some water would be great. Thanks." While Rachel got me some water, I looked around the room, finding the wall of photos that always caught my attention. My eyes fixated on the photo of Rachel and her roommates. Davis, to be specific. I needed to know. So, when she brought me the water, I asked point blank without any preamble. "Are you seeing Davis again?"
"No."
"I saw you with him last week at O'Leary's."
"I know."
"You saw me?"
"No, Ava saw you. Why didn't you stay to talk to me if you came all the way there?"
I hung my head. I was trying to do the right thing.
"The right thing? What does that mean?"
"Let you be with someone better for you than me. Walk away." She seemed to contemplate that for a moment.
"Why are you here now, then?"
I sighed. "Because I'm a selfish asshole."
"I don't understand."
I waited until she was looking in my eyes and decided to say what I should have said weeks ago. "I lied to you. I kept things from you. I got you hurt. I'm the reason you have a scar on your back. You have zero reasons to want to trust me or give me another chance, but I have to try." I took a deep breath. "I have to try because I love you, Rachel. I'm so fucking desperately in love with you." She looked like she might cry. Dread knotted in the pit of my stomach.
"I don't blame you for anything that happened, Kane. That's not why I couldn't see you for a while. I couldn't see you because I couldn't look at you. I'm so ashamed of everything that happened."
"Ashamed? What are you talking about? You have nothing to be ashamed of." Rachel looked down.
"I let things go on for a long time and didn't tell anyone. I should have gone to the police or told a teacher. If I had been less afraid, maybe my sister wouldn't have gotten things so badly. Maybe she wouldn't have spent half her life in and out of rehab. I was the only one who could have done something about what was going on, and I didn't. I placed my hand under Rachel's chin and lifted, forcing her to look at me. My heart broke when I saw tears streaming down her face. You did nothing wrong. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing. I should have. You should have been a 10-year-old girl who went out and rode her bike without a care in the world. That's what you should have been doing. The only person who did anything wrong to your sister was Benny. You were 10 and scared and didn't even fully understand everything that was happening. And even then, you did try to tell someone. You told me. I was older. I should have known better and gotten help. You did help. If it weren't for you, I don't know how long it would have gone on. I should have stopped it sooner. She shook her head. The other day I was thinking about what made me go into that church to begin with, and I remembered a conversation I had with my mom. She told me to go there if something was ever bothering me inside. She said it was a place I could go to talk to God about anything. I was probably only about 5 when she told me that, so I took her advice very literally. I asked her what would happen if God was busy. And you know what she said?
What?
She told me if he was busy, one of his angels would listen.
I stared at her, mesmerized by how strong and smart she'd been even back then. Your mom sounds like a really special person, very spiritual.
She was. And she was also right, Cain. Don't you see that? God was busy, so he sent me an angel, my own guardian angel. God sent me you.
It didn't matter that I looked like a pussy. I started to cry. Rachel placed her hand over my heart.
It's time we both let go of the past.
I'm so sorry for everything, Rachel.
There's nothing for you to be sorry for.
Leaning in, I cupped her beautiful face in my hands and kissed her with everything in me. Her cheeks were flushed when it broke.
I almost forgot, she said.
What? Rachel took a step back and lifted her t-shirt off of her body. She wasn't wearing a bra, and I couldn't hide the expression on my face.
Hold that thought, Professor. I want to show you something else.
She turned around and looked at me over her shoulder. On the bottom left side of her lower back was a big bandage.
What happened? Take the tape off, but do it gently because I'm still a little sore.
As I began to peel back the tape, I realized the area she had covered was her scar from Benny 15 years ago.
Did something happen to your scar?
She smiled.
It's not a scar. It's just a cut that healed. The real scars are the ones you can't see. Those are the hardest to heal.
Lifting the dressing, I had no words, seeing what she had done. I could no longer see the long scar that had marred her beautiful skin. It was covered by a tattoo of an angel.
That's you, she said.
I'd buried so much so I wouldn't have to deal with old emotions. Everything coming out now wasn't easy, but I finally feel like I'm on the other side of those memories. They'll always be there, but I can see them in the rearview mirror now instead of in front of me.
I was so choked up, my voice croaked when I spoke.
It's beautiful, just like you.
I can keep the bandage off now. The guy at the tattoo parlor told me to leave it on for up to 8 hours. I just got it done today.
Rachel turned back around to face me. Her tits were so damn full and perky, I couldn't help but be distracted by them.
Cain?
Huh? My eyes lifted back to meet hers. She looked amused.
There's just one problem.
What's that?
I can't lie on my back.
That's not a problem, Feisty. I can think of a lot of ways to be inside you without you being on your back. I leaned down and scooped her into my arms. Cradling her, I walked to the bedroom.
Tell me, do you want to ride me, be on all fours, bend over the footboard, or spoonfuck? Or maybe you'd just rather sit on my face?
I set Rachel down on the edge of the bed, removed her shorts and panties, and began to shed my own clothes. When I got down to my boxer briefs, I hooked my fingers in the sides and looked at her as I pulled them down. My cock was painfully hard.
What's your pleasure, sweetheart? Which one are you in the mood for?
Rachel licked her lips.
I have to pick just one?
I stepped out of my boxers and stroked myself a few times. No, babe, you're picking the first position. We're going to do them all. Tomorrow, you're going to be so sore it will hurt when you sit down in class. And I'm going to watch you sit and know exactly why you're squirming in your seat. Then I'm going to have a hard-on for the entire class. Pick one so we can start making you sore.
Ride you. I want to ride you.
Her face was so sexy with that impish smile. I climbed up on the bed, settling my back against the headboard, and lifted her onto my thighs. I wanted to watch her face while she took my cock into her body. Are you wet? I slipped my fingers between her legs and found her completely soaked. She nodded. Gripping my cock, I held it near the base. Take it, nice and slow. I want to watch it disappear inside your pussy. Rachel lifted onto her knees, placing her hands on my shoulders for balance, and hovered over the glistening crown of my cock. I had the strongest urge to thrust up and bury myself deep inside her, but I didn't. She wanted to ride me, and I wanted to give her anything she wanted. Christ, I groaned as she began to lower herself onto my cock. She was so tight and hot. I was captivated by the sight of her pussy sucking me inside. It had only been a few weeks since we were last together, but I was starving for her like it had been years. She lifted up and down a few times, easing me farther and farther in until she was seated with me fully inside, her ass pressed against my balls. When she started to gyrate her hips, I pressed my thumb to her clit and rubbed small circles while I grabbed hold of her ponytail with the other. Ride me, Feisty. Ride me hard. She moaned, so I yanked a little harder. With her head back, her magnificent tits were right at my eye level. I watched them bouncing up and down, taking my eyes off only long enough to lean forward and suck a nipple into my mouth, one and then the other. Rachel's speed increased, bobbing up and down, lifting halfway off my cock and taking me back in with a rhythm that was so fucking perfect. Just fucking perfect. Whimpering, she began to lose steam as her orgasm took hold. I grabbed her hips and took over where she'd left off, thrusting up into her from underneath while she met me with whatever she had left. The tight squeeze of her pussy and her moaning my name over and over as she came undone had me thrusting harder and harder until my name was barely a whisper from her lips. I swallowed every last one of those moans in a kiss. Then I buried myself as deep as I possibly could and came long and hard inside of her. I love you, Rachel Martin, I mumbled against her lips.
I love you too, Kane West.
We stayed like that for a long time, her sitting on my lap, me caressing her face. I just couldn't get over the way things had turned out. I was awestruck by her beauty, inside and out, and by the way fate had brought us back together again.
What? You're looking at me funny, she said.
It's just so crazy how many years this has been in the making, how we found our way back to each other. Rachel smiled and tilted her head.
You know you're the reason we met again, right?
I think Professor Clarence dying had something to do with it.
Maybe, but if it weren't for you, I might not have even discovered the power of music for therapy. All those years ago, you gave me your headphones and told me to listen to music, to concentrate on the words whenever I was upset. I listened, and it really helped. That's how I really got into music.
I thought back. I did give you headphones, didn't I?
You did. You know, I wrote you a letter the morning everything happened. Well, not you, but fake priest you.
Oh, yeah? Did you get to bring it to the church?
No. I don't even know what happened to it. Got thrown out when we went to live with my aunt and uncle, I guess.
What did it say?
I don't remember exactly, but I know I thanked you for talking to me every week.
I went back on Saturdays for a month, just in case you came back. It felt like something was missing each time I went and you weren't there.
There was. A little piece of your heart.
She smiled.
I kept it and brought it back to you.
No, you didn't, Rachel. You've always had my heart, and I don't ever want it back.
Epilogue. If you're going to ban sex, you need to start wearing a bra around the house, Kane grumbled as he leaned down and planted a chaste kiss on my lips.
He also slipped his hand under my shirt and pinched my nipple. Hard. Ow!
You love it and you know it.
My fiancé was grumpy, but he was also right. I secretly loved that he was growing more irritable by the day since I'd cut him off almost 2 weeks ago. My eyes softened as I looked up at him. What time will you be back?
Probably not until 6. I need to go over all the grading my shit-for-brains TA has done before turning the final grades in.
Kane was extremely unhappy with the TA he'd been assigned this year. I smiled. Once you've had the best, everyone else seems inferior.
You were a good TA, but I might have been influenced because of your great T and A. Come to think of it, since you're not even giving me T and A now, you should at least give me the TA and do my grading.
No can do, Professor. I have a full day ahead of me. I need to finish packing the last of my things here this morning. Your sister and I are taking the girls to pick up their dresses and then out to lunch. After that, I have to go see Father McDonald to give him our readings and music choices. So you're going to need to take care of things yourself. He pouted.
I've been taking care of myself for 2 weeks.
I stood from the chair where I'd been sipping my morning coffee and pushed up on my tippy toes as I wrapped my arms around Kane's neck. It's just 2 more days. Think how much more exciting it will be when we finally go to bed Saturday night after the reception is over. And the next time you make love to me, I'll be Mrs. Kane West.
His eyes softened. I do like the sound of that. Although I only agreed to wait until after the wedding. I never said anything about after the reception.
What did you think? We're going to have sex in the car on the drive from the church to the restaurant?
I was thinking we could do it in the confessional, right after the priest says you're stuck with me for the rest of your life.
That's twisted on so many levels, even for you. Kane laughed.
I gotta run, or I'm going to be late starting the exam, so give me that mouth and kiss me properly to get me through another day of celibacy.
In one motion, he reached a hand around my back and squeezed my ass as he lifted me, my legs wrapped around his waist. His mouth melded to mine, the kiss hard and passionate. I moaned into his mouth as he backed me up to the wall and pinned me against it, using his hips so his hands could roam my body. Yes, my soon-to-be husband definitely knew how to kiss me properly. After he begrudgingly left my apartment without getting laid, I looked around at the sparse furnishings I had left to pack. Since we'd decided I was moving into Kane's place, we'd been taking stuff there over the last month. Pretty much the only things left to box up were my wall of framed pictures, my books, and some personal things in the bathroom. I took on the books first, and then moved to the wall. I'd added some new pictures to my display over the last year. Kane and me at my graduation from grad school. I was facing the camera, smiling proudly about getting my degree, and Kane was looking at me with the same proud smile. Me and the crew from O'Leary's on my last night working there. Charlie had his arm draped around my shoulder. He'd been a hard sell on accepting that Kane wasn't a violent criminal. Ultimately, one night after Kane and I were back together, I'd told Charlie my entire story. After so many years of keeping everything pent up, it was odd to share it openly. But the more I talked about it, the farther back in the rearview mirror those ugly days went. I missed working at O'Leary's, but I loved my new job as a musical therapist. I worked as an independent contractor for a school district, doing one-on-one therapy with autistic children. It was a job that felt more like a reward than a grind. Kane and I had dinner with Charlie every week at O'Leary's. He might not be my employer anymore, but he was the closest thing I'd had to a father figure since my uncle passed away. In fact, Charlie would be giving me away in 2 days. I suspected Kane would be getting a good eye squint warning at the altar from him. Even though my research was done and my thesis published, we still kept in touch with Lydia and Umberto. The first Sunday of every month, Kane and I brought Murphy to visit. I wasn't sure who got more from our visits, us or them. I packed 2 boxes of framed photos, feeling sentimental as I folded the bubble wrap over each memory. The last one I packed was the photo of my mother on the swing in our yard. I brushed my fingers over her beautiful face through the glass. Thanks, Mom. Without her advice to seek the church, I might never have met Kane. The small slide locks that kept the back of the frame on and the picture in place must have moved when I took the photo from the wall. As I reached for the bubble wrap, the cardboard back of the frame opened, and something fluttered to the ground. It was a folded-up piece of paper. Thinking it was probably a receipt or the sample picture that had come inside the frame, I picked it up and unfolded it. I froze when I saw the handwriting on it, because it was my own. It was less developed and messier than it was now, but it was mine, and I knew exactly what it was, the letter I'd written to the fake priest 16 years ago. Until that moment, I hadn't remembered putting it behind Mom's picture. I steadied myself and took a deep breath before reading what I'd written. Dear Father, I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you when I was supposed to. My stepfather found out we were going to run away and got really mad. He said if he ever caught the person who was going to help us, he'd hurt them. So I can't come talk to you on Saturdays anymore, because I don't want him to hurt you. But I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for the headphones, and for telling me how to listen to music to make everything better. Thank you for listening to me, even when I was too afraid to talk. But most of all, thank you for being my angel when God was too busy. I hope I get to see you again someday. Rachel. I stared down at the page, and I read the letter a second time, then a third. Mom had sent me my angel. I had no doubt about that. 2 days later, I walked down the aisle to marry the love of my life. My new little nieces, Lizzie and Allie, were flower girls. They walked ahead of me, dropping rose petals. When they reached the altar, Allie looked back with a giant smile, and I nodded my head, indicating it was time to drop the other things I'd slipped into her basket. She looked up at her uncle, then tossed 2 pennies at his feet. They both landed face up. Charlie walked me down the aisle to a folksy remake of an old Gene Clark song, Full Circle. There were tears in Kane's eyes as I came to stand next to him at the altar. He took my hand as the song finished playing, and together we smiled and turned to look back at our confessional. Just as the lyric said, we'd come full circle. We'd traveled different paths to get back to where we'd started, but finally we were finished. Now it was the first day of the rest of our lives, and I couldn't wait to start. This has been Beautiful Mistake, written by Vi Keeland, narrated by Andy Arndt and Sebastian York. Copyright 2017 by Vi Keeland. Production copyright 2017 by Vi Keeland. Andy Arndt and Sebastian York are members of SAG-AFTRA.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.